happens, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good afternoon. This is the Midday News for today, Friday, March 22nd, 2024.
News.
Well, I'm your presenter, Richie Farrell. In the headlines,
it happens.
Glenroy Soso Coffee contends that Dominica's key economic sectors have stagnated over the past two decades,
95.
With no visible efforts from the DLP regime to revive them. Equity, Justice and Social Empowerment Minister Joakim Henry says St. Lucia is working to have a state-of-the-art juvenile detention center, which is likely to be the best in the Eastern Caribbean. And the United Nations Security Council fails to pass U.S. resolution calling for immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
Only on
the news brought to you with the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. We'll be back with more details.
March Madness! Courts is back by popular demand. That's right. We heard you loud and clear. Get crazy deals of up to 70% off across the store.
Plus,
to Saturday, 23rd March. Up to 70% off
across the store.
No cash, no worries. You can pay later with Ready Finance.
Ready Finance.
If you missed it for the first time, don't miss it this time around. Special conditions apply. Offer ends March 23rd, 2024.
Welcome back to Q95 News. Glenroy Soso Coffee, a member of the United Workers' Party, highlights the prolonged stagnation of the country's key growth sectors, criticizing the current administration for its lack of action to revitalize them. He points out a disproportionate focus on the Citizenship by Investment program, with little attention given to diversifying other crucial sectors such as agriculture, tourism, and manufacturing. Coffey emphasizes the significance of these sectors for Dominica's overall progress and development.
We have noticed over the years that our growth sectors have been stagnated, and we have not seen any attempts by the government to at least rescue these growth sectors. What in fact we have heard is more of what they sell passports, and nothing else actually is being put towards diversification of the other growth sectors like agriculture, tourism, like manufacturing. But we want to say that we are very, very, very much concerned about the situation in Dominica. And we know that our exports are very, in fact, the performance on export is, we can say it is very dismal. At this point in time, we cannot say, well, thank God for the hucksters. They have been taking some of the agricultural produce and they are doing what they can. We call that domestic marketing, but it's one way of doing it is just the hucksters, you sell to them and then they take it to the other markets, and they have all the responsibility to ensure that they sell and bring in the foreign exchange. We want more of an organized marketing structure, whereby we want the government to put the necessary incentives and give the necessary incentives to, let's say, the exporting agency.
Coffey advocates for the decentralization of DEXA, emphasizing the necessity of separating import and export functions. He believes that maintaining independence between the two sectors is crucial, as their current combination poses challenges in effectively enhancing agricultural exports from the island.
And I've always said that we have DEXA, for instance, the Dominica Export and Import Agency. My view has always been we do not really need a merger of the two. We need them to independently stand on their own. We need a Dominica Export, you know, agency, and we need a Dominica Import Agency. Because what happens with DEXA in that case, as we always say, what they do at the end of the financial year, they consolidate their accounts, and what you find is that they make a profit. When you look at the agricultural part of it or the export part of it, it is dismal. So probably that is something that we have to look at in the future. And if we have the agency, then we can set up the necessary structures, get the necessary incentives in them, incentivize the various sectors from the field work, from production to exporting. And once that is organized, then we'll see more of profitability with respect to to agriculture and the proceeds.
United Workers Party member Glenroy Soso-Coffey, deputy leader of the United Workers Party, Mr. Ronald Charles, affirms the moral and legal entitlement of Dominican citizens to elect their governing leaders. He emphasized that these leaders should not be appointed for the people, but rather should be chosen by them. He highlighted numerous development initiatives undertaken in Dominica during the United Workers Party administration's governance as evidence of effective leadership.
Dominicans have a moral and a legal right to decide who they want to govern them. And they must not be given. They must choose who they want. And that is important. The United Workers Party over a five-year period, we have many examples. In 1997, we have the roads that were built daily to Petit Savan. From La Plaine, 15 minutes, you could be there. The secondary school in Grand Bay that was built. And you're talking about a school after almost 30 years or 25 years is able to withstand Hurricane 10. You know? I say this because it is important to understand that a government must govern in a way that it benefits the people and the poor. Cannot be that, you know, it's just vaiky-vai things. And that's why, Susu, I want to endorse what you say. When the government come to us, and in the 2023 budget, 2023-2024 budget, the Minister of Finance say to the people that, quote-unquote, that in 2030, we are hoping to bring 5,000 people, 500,000, to increase the population by 500,000. It's only just recently for stay over tourism, that is. 500,000.
Charles emphasized the need for electoral reform to enable Dominican citizens to democratically elect their government. He stressed that individuals should be informed of their rights to choose a government without external pressures.
In 2006, I believe, or 2016, I'm not too sure, that we had 84,000 stayover visitors. So tell me, in just 7 years, how are we going to reach 500,000 in 7 years, and when it's almost 24 years ago, we're unable to have 100,000. I say this because this is what has been happening. There's a lot of pie in the sky fingers blowing. Again, when they wanted to develop Roseau, we get a nice sketch of Roseau. People see beautiful cars, nice roads, nice sidewalks, and beautiful signs. The same thing for the airport, nice big planes coming in. And they give these fake things, and people just rush into it and don't understand that at the end of the day, it has to be done. All right? So I say this to say, a lot of the things that we are happening to us is because we fail to understand that we need to choose those we want to govern us. And to do this is to ensure that we get the electoral reform that we need, so we have a level playing field where the Dominicans can decide who they want. And Dominicans must start to tell themselves that they have a right, without no duress, without no pressure, to choose a government that they wish to govern.
UWP Deputy Leader Ronald Charles. Minister of State for Public Utilities Shakira Lockhart Hippolyte lauds Dominica's reputation as the Nature Isle of the Caribbean, attributing it to the island's breathtaking and largely untouched landscape, widely regarded as the most exquisite and pristine in the region. She emphasizes Dominica's strategic efforts in recent years to solidify its position as the foremost nature tourism destination across the wider Caribbean. Minister Lockhart Hippolyte also highlights the significant advancements made by the tourism sector, underlining its crucial role in bolstering the country's economy.
Dominica is often heralded as the nature island of the Caribbean. Our relatively unspoiled landscape is considered the most dramatically beautiful and pristine in the wider Caribbean, and some would say the world. Within the last several years, Dominica has been positioning itself as the premier nature tourism destination in the wider Caribbean. Tourism is rapidly becoming a major sector of growth in the Dominican economy. Consequently, due to the fact that globalization and trade liberalization has led to the collapse of the banana industry, the growth and social protection strategy of the government of Dominica has identified tourism as the industry that has the most potential for growth during the medium term to long term.
Lockhart elaborated on the country's marketing strategy, emphasizing its reliance on the abundance and exceptional quality of the island's natural resources. She underscored the significance of incorporating the island's rich cultural heritage into promotional efforts, highlighting its significance and appeal to tourists.
Our marketing strategy is based on the extent and extremely high quality of the island's natural resources. These natural resources include scenic mountains, crystal clear cascading streams, tumbling waterfalls, crater lake, and a diversity of flora and fauna that includes two endemic species of parrots and some of the best remaining strands of tropical oceanic rainforest in the Caribbean. Additionally, the island's marine environment and associated biodiversity offers the possibility of snorkeling, scuba, and whale watching. The cultural heritage resources of the island are also of great interest. The Carib territory, which occupies 3,700 acres, is home to the indigenous Kalinago people. The built heritage, including the historic buildings of Roseau and the ruins of Fort Shirley at the Cabrits National Park, also form part of the heritage and cultural tourism sector.
Minister of State for Public Utilities, Shakira Lockhart Hippolyte, you're tuned in with Q95 News. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says his administration is willing to provide added support to LEAD 2020 Limited if needed. He emphasized that LEAD provides a positive outlook to regional tourism for all Caribbean islands. He added that CARICOM appreciates the investments of other airlines like Caribbean Airlines, Inter-Caribbean Airlines, Silver Airways, Winair Airlines, and Air Antilles. However, LEAD Airlines is without a doubt an additional asset for air travel in the Caribbean.
We are prepared to play our part as a government, as a country, in any effort towards improving air travel within the Caribbean. And if we go back to contemporary times, you will recall that we invested in LEAD 1974 Limited. And as a matter of fact, when we invested then, we were heavily criticized for investing in LEAD 1974 Limited because people felt that we were investing in a failed company, in a company that was losing money, and we were just throwing good money at old. And I indicated to the country then, to those critics, that if LEAD doesn't fly for one day in the Caribbean, we're in trouble. And we have seen the dramatic impact on air travel in the Caribbean, on our economies, on the tourism industry, because for all the countries in the Caribbean, all with no exception, regional tourism is either number one or number two in terms of contribution of tourism to these countries. And while we appreciate the investments with Inter-Caribbean and we applaud them and Caribbean Airlines and Winair, but there's still a gap because of the absence of LEAD. And therefore, we have to work towards filling that gap if we are to get back to our pre-LEAD servicing of the region.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. Two independent construction contractors who claim to be hired by the Montreal Management Consultant Establishment, MMCE Limited, Mark Tousse and Mr. Stephen Daniel, allege that the company failed to meet certain contractual arrangements with them. MMCE Limited is currently conducting a major housing project in the Pébouche community. Speaking on Q95 FM on Thursday, the two contractors confirmed that the project is funded by MMCE Limited. They allege that operations director at MMCE, Mr. Carl Murad, appears to be in breach of a signed contract with them and has not delivered an undisclosed amount in due payment. Mark says he has written 5 letters to Murad in the space of 8 months, requesting that he be paid appropriately for services that he has delivered. Mr. Mark Tousse and Mr. Stephen Daniel claim that out of the 8 contractors hired on this project, 3 have been paid and the other 5 have been left out, inclusive of them. Mr. Tusse advised Mr. Murad that if he and Stephen Daniel are not provided compensation by March 25, 2024, they will reveal other issues that are of concern to them regarding this housing project that has been in operation for over a year in Peybush.
The difficulty that we have now, we have a difficulty with the director of Mr. Carl of MMC. We are Carl Moran. So we had submitted some documents to him that he had to deliver certain funds to us, and he's trying to pay that difficult. So we are here to let him know that
we are serious.
So if he don't deliver to us
documents,
both sides, and if he don't deliver payments Monday, so I will go, I will have M on side, and I'll be back to radio station to deliver everything. Mr. Rwanda, is not too long we spoke to him, and then we had a talk with the government, whatever it is. But I don't want to update too much of things. I just want him to know that I am serious on my mission. So he has to deliver, and if he don't deliver, that's the time I'm going to deliver everything.
All right, and Stephen Daniel.
With 8 of us on the housing project, but we have a problem which had take place that he only deliver to some of the contractors, and he didn't deliver to us. So we had to take it further. It's not a matter of some of the money not being paid and some don't pay. The understanding is it have variation and it have 15%. And this is what we're dealing with, is the variation. We submit to him, and then what he have to do is to work with us and make us know what is going on, and he's just not delivering. So we have to take a step forward for him to know that it's not no joke.
You've just heard voices of the independent construction contractors reportedly hired by MMCE Limited, Mr. Mark Tusse and Mr. Stephen Daniel. It should be noted that these two Dominican contractors claim that they are still delivering services on the project to honor their contractual obligations and maintain the project timeline. You're tuned in with Q95 News. A special general meeting of the Dominica Public Service Union has been called for Thursday, March 28, 2024. The slogan for the activity, open quote, "Your livelihood depends on you," end of quote, seeks to convey a message to public sector workers that it is only through unity among the members and their commitment that the myriad of challenges with which they are currently confronted can be overcome. Among the issues down for discussion are salary increases, upward mobility, appointment, status of non-established employees, draft legislations for the public service, status of proposed housing project which is expected to benefit public officers, gratuity payments, tuition for education, unnecessary appointments, salary adjustments, and of course, the state of the economy. At the end of the executive presentations, members will be invited to provide feedback and to contribute to this discussion. The meeting is expected to conclude with a deadline by which follow-up action will be taken. Now, Treasurer of the Concerned Citizens Movement, John Blanchard, has leveled serious allegations against Prime Minister of Dominica, citing a series of disrespectful actions towards the nation's population. Among the grievances outlined by Mr. Blanchard is the purported interference of the ruling Dominica Labour Party regime in the judiciary, resulting in a compromised legal system that allegedly facilitates injustices against citizens, particularly those viewed as dissenting voices against the current administration.
Of the interference in the judiciary system, hence making it handicapped while administering injustice to citizens, particularly those perceived to be opponents of his ruling party. Number 7, we have the obvious interference in the police force, which is rapidly removing us from a democratic country to a police state. We have a police that abuse citizens. The police abuse citizens' democratic rights and freedoms all the time in Dominica. We see it happening in broad daylight. Friends like Buju and Maggie and all the others have been, you know, harassed and grabbed and beaten, Buju murdered and all of that. We know of it because they speak out their minds. So we actually, if we are not there as yet, we are not far from being in a police state because the police are abusing the authorities. They are abusing it and trying to intimidate and put fear in the citizens. They will continue to intimidate or attempt to intimidate They will continue to instill fear in us. They will continue to abuse our rights and our freedom of expression until such time when the people will decide we have had enough of that abuse and will retaliate in the most appropriate and effective manner to put an end to that abuse. That time is not far from coming, you know. That time is not far.
Blanchard has highlighted additional instances of the Prime Minister's disregard for the media in the country, citing numerous examples where such behavior has been evident over the years.
We have also seen the disrespect of this Prime Minister. He has meted out, we have seen the disrespect that he has meted out to press, to the press in recent times. We had this scenario of the young journalist at DBS Radio who asked a legitimate question about the ownership of the House of Darkness in Roseau, a project we were told that cost over $40 million to construct. And she was ridiculed because she asked a genuine question, whether it is a government initiative or whether it is a private sector initiative. And she was ridiculed. The Prime Minister had a sort of defense, you know. He didn't want that question asked at all, so he had to shut up. And recently, a few days ago, we saw the Prime Minister's refusal to allow a news reporter from MO News to ask a question about the Kalibishi school issue. To my mind, this is a matter of public interest. A school is being built at Kalibishi, the residence has problems as to concerns as to where the school is built and to preserve the playing field and what have you for the children's recreation and the community recreation. That is of public interest. Yet the Prime Minister saw it fit to brush her aside and refuse to entertain a question from her. Can you imagine that?
CCM Treasurer John Blanchard. St. Lucia will house a unique juvenile detention center that Equity, Justice and Social Empowerment Minister Joachim Henry expects to become the best in the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States. Henry visited the former George Charles Secondary School building in Castries on Wednesday. The government plans to transform the site into a juvenile detention center. Open quote, "This site will become the best, the most novel, responsive juvenile center in the OECS region," end of quote, Henry stated. The United Nations Security Council prepared to vote on a U.S. draft resolution which called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza tied to the release of hostages held by Hamas. It is the first time the U.S. has supported calls for an immediate ceasefire in that region, having previously blocked such demands at the U.N. It comes as Antony Blinken met Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel as the U.S. grew more critical of Israel's military campaign. It should be noted that the United Nations Security Council failed to pass the U.S. resolution, again, which called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
I give the floor to the representative of Algeria.
Thank you, Mr. President. I address to you today not only as representative of Algeria, but also as a representative of the whole Arab world, witnessing the unfolding tragedy in Palestine. Our region is devastated by the violence inflicted upon the Palestinian people. Live scenes of destruction and killing, inflicting profound suffering, are not bearable anymore. Since the beginning of the aggression against the Palestinian people, the Arab group have consistently called to put an end to this carnage. Only by ceasing hostilities, we can alleviate the immense suffering and ensure that large-scale humanitarian assistance reaches those in need. For this purpose, we presented last month a draft resolution who garnered significant support within the Security Council, but it was ultimately vetoed. We firmly believe that its adoption could have saved thousands of lives of innocent people.
Now Well, that's the midday news. Here's a recap of our headlines. Glenroy Soso Coffee contends that Dominica's key economic sectors have stagnated over the past two decades, with no visible efforts from the DLP regime to revive them.
The Big Station.
Equity, Justice and Social Empowerment Minister Joachim Henry says St. Lucia is working to have a state-of-the-art juvenile detention center, which is likely to be the best in the Eastern Caribbean. And the United Nations Security Council fails to pass U.S. resolution calling for immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
Happens.
The news
happens.
Brought to you with the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited.
As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com.